You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. I am your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you like listening to this show, subscribe to it on iTunes or Spotify. Makes life easy on you. We'll deliver the show to your device each day. You can listen on the go, whether you're on your commute, on a run, at the gym. And if you really enjoy the show, give it a good review in iTunes. We certainly appreciate that. Well, training camp is at its end. The Jets will break camp today, which means that the NFL season is just around the corner. It was a long offseason, and certainly an eventful offseason for the Jets. And the end of training camp means that, I mean, it's not like the team's going to stop practicing, and that's the preseason's certainly not over yet. There still are some position battles to be decided. There still are some roster battles to be decided, and that will take place over the next week or so, next week and change, leading up to the preseason finale next week against the Philadelphia Eagles. But since we are at the end of training camp today, I did kind of want to go back to camp and just take a look at the biggest developments that I think came out of training camp for the Jets in 2018. And as always, remember, these are just practices, a bunch of practices, even like a month worth of practice. It's not necessarily something that defines a career. It's not necessarily something that defines a player or a team, but we'll just take a look. We'll still take a look at some of the things that happened in training camp. And that does include the first couple preseason games. Now, the top story, I think, for the Jets out of training camp is the quarterbacks, and two in particular, Sam Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater, who have both played well, both in camp and the preseason. And then we also have the incumbent Josh McCown, but McCown's, I mean, we pretty much know what McCown is, what McCown is not. Darnold and Bridgewater have both created some cautious, I think, room for cautious optimism, based on their play in training camp in the first two preseason games. And it's funny because, of course, Darnold started training camp as a holdout. He held out. He missed the first three practices. He got his deal signed just in time for the fourth practice. And, boy, that seems like a very long time ago. You know, that does not seem like a matter of weeks just because of how things have changed since then. Darnold has gone out, played very effectively in training camp, played effectively in preseason games, and really seems to be on the verge of winning the starting job if you're listening to what the Jets are saying. And more importantly, if you watch what the Jets are doing, you know, he's started to take over the bulk of the reps with the first team, and he started last week's preseason game. He's probably going to start this week's preseason game, and I think unless he falls flat on his face, he's in line to get the number one quarterback job heading into week one against the Detroit Lions. So, I think in terms of where Darnold is right now, he's exactly where you'd want him to be. Now, putting together a good training camp and a good preseason, that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. I mean, if we're going to be honest, I think it matters from the standpoint that Darnold is showing some skills that suggest that he's not going to be in over his head. He's showing some skills that suggest he can play the quarterback position with some degree of competence, and that certainly is upgrade over what the Jets had last year in terms of young quarterbacks when they had Christian Hackenberg and Bryce Petty. You know, it's funny because it's so easy to forget, and I think a lot of people have forgotten. The Jets really did give Hackenberg every chance to win that starting job last year. I mean, they gave him plenty of first-team reps in practice, and he was the guy who got most of the first-team reps in the preseason games to show what he can do. The problem was that Hackenberg did not just fail to secure the number one job. He actually was so bad that he played himself out of the number two job, which ultimately went to Petty, who was more effective in preseason games. It's been a different story this year. It's been what you want to see, and practice is practice. You know, that's Allen Iverson so famously put it. But you're seeing what you were not seeing these things last year, so that at least is a positive. And then in terms of what Teddy Bridgewater's doing, he's showing you that he's probably over the knee injury. You know, he's showing very few signs and it was a devastating knee injury. You know, there was some talk in last week's game. The announcers were discussing how Bridgewater, came close to losing his leg. It wasn't that he wasn't that far away from losing his leg because that injury was so serious back in 2016. And It was. I remember it was a non-contact injury. Just the way it was described, it was tough to believe. It was tough to visualize how something like that could have happened. How such a serious injury could have happened when, there was no real danger. It was really a pure non-contact injury. I think the two things that really stand out about Bridgewater, after a couple of years starting in the league, I think we probably have a good idea of what he can do with this, what skills he brought to the table previously. I think the two questions with him were how good is his mobility and can he take a hit? And I think in both instances, you've seen positive developments in both instances. To some extent, we knew about the mobility because he was moving very well during the off-season program, during off-season practices. So that's something. You can't judge performance during off-season program. If a guy goes out and plays well, that doesn't mean he's going to be a great player for your team. But you can judge skills. And Bridgewater was moving well during the off-season program. He was moving well in training camp. He looks like he's moving pretty well in the games. And Bridgewater's not a guy who's you're going to put in. He was never a guy you'd put in a lot of designed runs for anyway. It's not his game. He's not a guy who's going to pick up a lot of yardage on the ground. He's not a runner. He's not a scrambler. But he's a guy who's been part of his success has been due to his mobility within the pocket, his ability to evade pass rushers. So good sign from that front. And then he's taken some big hits, especially in that second preseason game against Washington. He took some shots, and one that was in the lower body area, the area where his knee is, and he came out of it. He came out of it okay. And that's one of those shots where I feel like you want to see one of them. You want to see him take one of them. And I think Bridgewater even mentioned after the game he was kind of relieved after he took that shot and it did, the knee held up. He even kind of alluded to the fact that he wanted to get hit like that just so that he knew that he was back. So you want to get you want to see him take maybe one of those shots. You don't want to see him take two because those are dangerous hits. So you don't want to see him take too many shots like that. You just want to see enough to know that he'll bounce back from it when he gets hit, and he has. So I think the biggest story for the Jets in training camp this year has been the quarterback situation. For once, you actually have some hope, some young guys who have potential. It's a nice scenario for the Jets in training camp. I've said this a couple times in the last week on the website Gangrene Nation. It's nice to be discussing which of the two good quarterbacks is better instead of which of the two shaky quarterbacks is less bad. And that's what you have for the Jets this preseason. Sam Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater are both doing pretty impressive stuff. Now, Darnold was obviously the first Jets draft pick in 2018, but they picked a number of players after him. And I think that brings us to another one of the stories of the training camp. And it's that the rookie class has looked pretty solid in training camp. Now, caveat, these are practices. These are not necessarily things that are going to carry over into games. And I don't think you're going to get a ton of contributions from everybody the Jets drafted. And to some extent, some of these rookies, especially you get to the late rounders, they're competing against undrafted guys, so they should be better. If you get drafted, you should be better than an undrafted guy. But at least the first seeds of cautious optimism, I think, were planted with a number of players. I think one Nathan Shepard is a guy who may be earning a starting job, and I am surprised that he's contributing so much so soon. I did not dislike the pick, but I figured third-round pick, small school. And I'd be lying if I told you I watched a lot of him in college because his games really weren't accessible. But, third round pick, small school, these are all signs that a player is probably going to need some time to develop. A guy who's, maybe you're looking at year two, year three before he's a contributor. Some things he has to refine. He has to get used to the much higher level of competition in the NFL. Even guys who play at major schools against big conference competition, there's an adjustment period to deal with the talent level in the NFL the thing about the NFL is everybody was an all. The NFL is pretty much a college all-star league. So if you were a great player in college, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a great player in the NFL. And one of the things I think is easy to forget is even the guys who really are fringe roster players in the NFL were great players in college. It takes a lot of talent just to be one of these guys who's a camp body in the NFL. So with all that in mind, big upgrade in, Now that's those we talked about guys who come from major college to the NFL, big jump in opponents' talents. Now imagine a guy coming from a school as small as Shepherd's coming from. How big the chasm is between the talent he faced last year and the talent he's facing this year. So I figured it would take, there'd be some adjustments. And there's always, I mean, I think with a small school guy, there's always some concern that at the small school you can just physically dominate if you're a great player. In the NFL, you're not, it's going to be tougher to physically dominate. You really need to do it through technique. So I think there were some concerns. But it looks like he's winning the starting job. I mean, it looks like he's, and on the defensive line, maybe starting job's not the right way to put it because there's going to be plenty of rotation on the defensive line. But he looks like he's earning a prominent role on this defensive line this year. So, you know, that's a very positive development. To a lesser extent, the Jets have gotten some camp contributions out of rookies. I'm not sure these are guys who will contribute this year, but at least a few things to be positive about. And I always, again, the caveat does apply. Just putting together a halfway decent camp doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a long-term player for the franchise. It doesn't mean you're going to be a good player in the league. But it's, you'd rather see them, these guys, play well than not play well. So Trenton Cannon, a guy who flashed a little bit in training camp, and Perry Nickerson, who has been injured, so he's been on the shelf. Early on, it seemed like he was kind of impressing people. So the rookie performances are another positive, I think, from training camp for the Jets this year. Now, let's talk about a position where the Jets have shown that they have no depth, and I think that's offensive line, and all you had to do was watch last Thursday's game against the Redskins to see that, where the Jets had two starters out due to injury, and their starting left tackle was Brent Quale. That's not a good option. Their right guard was Jonathan Harrison, a guy who really was not a very effective player in Indianapolis for the Colts. He actually did have some starting, he had quite a bit of starting experience, but unfortunately it was not great starting experience. So, and the results were just ghastly, and it's no great shock. I mean, I don't think I don't think it comes as any great surprise, because the Jets starters, that starting group does not look good. I mean, that starting group is, it's not the worst starting group in the league, but it's in the bottom tier. It's pretty clearly below average. It's in the bottom tier. So when your starters are not good, well, that's a sign that your backups probably aren't going to be very good either, because the backups weren't even good enough to beat out these bad starters. So the Jets, I think, pretty clearly have an issue on the offensive line. With their starters, yes, but they've shown that they have zero depth. There were no surprise players who kind of came out of nowhere and at least gave you a little bit of hope. And again, a guy playing well in camp and preseason is not necessarily going to guarantee that guy will be effective, but he can at least give you a little bit of hope. And the Jets have not gotten that on the offensive line. And this team's got problems on the offensive line if everybody stays healthy, but this turns into a potentially catastrophic situation if the Jets suffer an injury up front. Now, one position that may look a little better depth-wise than we thought entering training camp, I'll go with cornerback. So we were glass half empty on one position just before. We'll go glass half full right now, and it's cornerback. And I'm still not totally sold on this group after Tremaine Johnson, but I will say that there were some young guys who kind of stepped up, who suggested that maybe they can take on, you know, a depth role. Nickerson was a guy, again, who was flashing early in camp. Now, with him missing so much time in camp, I'm not sure he's necessarily going to get, I'm not sure he's necessarily going to play a big role this year for this team, but a guy who flashed a little bit, you know, as your, we'll say, fifth corner, not horrible. I mean, hope he doesn't get a prominent role, but maybe could he handle a few snaps based on what we saw in camp. Possibly, no guarantees, but, you know, a positive development. Derek Jones, I think, was the big story of training camp at corner for the Jets. He had a strong camp, and that carried over in the preseason, where he continued to play well, second-year player. Again, you know, I really can't emphasize this enough. You can't put too much on training camp. I mean, last year, I found this tweet from a year ago that was from Pro Football Focus that was talking about what a great preseason Dexter McDougal was having. And McDougal ended up getting traded and bouncing around a couple different teams, not making an impact anywhere, not with the Jets, not with any of his new teams. So you do have to take this with a grain of salt, but you'd like to, at the same time, you'd like to see these guys. If our two options are play effectively and not play effectively, you choose play effectively because it's at least a possible sign. And the trap you fall into is sometimes people get a little too excited. People just want to believe a little too much, so they buy too much into training camp, preseason performance. But that said, Derek Jones is having a strong camp and preseason. And if you did not feel great about the corner depth on this team heading in, which I did not, you may feel just a little better, a little more optimistic, a little more hopeful at that position just because of what Derek Jones is doing. One other development from training camp has been that the special teams are really unsettled right now. Cairo Santos, who was the kicker they signed, who I think most of us presumed was going to win the kicking job, has been missing in action, really. It seems like he's been hurt for a couple weeks now because he hasn't been seen in practice, and he's missed the first couple preseason games. And the Jets went out and acquired a kicker yesterday. They claimed Jason Myers off waivers, and they're bringing Kai Forbath in for a workout, a veteran kicker. So the kicking situation seems kind of unsettled, and I think the return game is also a little up in the air. I think the return game isn't quite clear what the Jets are doing, and the return game has been an issue with the Jets for years, and really under this coaching staff. This coaching staff is really, I'm not entirely sure I understand what this regime and the general manager has to take a hit here because he's the guy deciding the roster. It's not really clear what the plan is at kick returner and punt returner. Will it be the veteran Andre Roberts? I mean, nobody's really stood out and grabbed the job for themselves. To the extent somebody stood out, it was a negative way. It was Trenton Cannon muffing a couple punts in the first preseason game, which is not, I mean, it's not a huge knock on Cannon. I think they were just kind of trying him out there because he had never returned punts before, but I'm not sure anybody's really going out there and claiming these return jobs. And look, in today's NFL, the return game is being phased out, particularly the kickoff return game, so it's less important than it was a decade ago, but still, it's been an issue with the Jets, and I'm not entirely clear where they're going. So still a lot unsettled on special teams, and special teams, of course, has been an area where, again, under this regime, this general manager, this coaching staff, it has not been a good spot for the Jets. Jets have struggled quite a bit there. So if I'm not going to go, you know, crazy about somebody playing, Derek Jones playing great, I'm also not going to go crazy about special teams not looking great in preseason. There's still time to, in training camp, there's still time to turn things around. But at this point, I think things are rather unsettled. And the final development from training camp, and it's not a good one, and it's really the most important, I always say it's the most important part of preseason. The Jets have not done a great job avoiding injuries, and this is not anybody's fault. I mean, this is just, injuries happen. You hope to get lucky in training camp and preseason, so I'm not, look, you can't blame somebody for getting hurt, but the Jets have just been very unlucky with injuries, whether you're talking about key players, you know, on the offensive line, Kelvin Beachum's been out for a while. Brian Winters dealing with something now. You've had Quincy Enunwa miss time. You've had Jordan Leggett miss time. I mean, Leggett's not as important as those other guys, but on the other side of the ball, you know, I was talking about Perry Nickerson. He looked early like he may be able to challenge Buster Skrine for the slot corner job. He's missed a lot of time. So Trenton Cannon. I mean, it's just the list goes on. I could go on and on and on. There are more guys who have missed time. Now, the fortunate sign is that a number of these injuries seem to happen early enough where the Jets may get these guys back before the start of the regular season, which is a positive thing. So all that will be missed would be training camp reps, which for a veteran player is not that big. For a younger player trying to develop, those reps can actually matter. But so I guess that's a positive from that standpoint. But this has just been, and I know injuries happen every year, and maybe my memory's fuzzy, but man, I don't remember the Jets suffering injuries like this. I mean, it seems like guys are going down left and right. It seems like guys have been missing every game. So hopefully hopefully the Jets got their injuries out of the way. Hopefully that doesn't continue into the regular season. Maybe the Jets got a little unlucky during preseason for injuries, and maybe things will even out during the regular season. You certainly hope so. And the one good thing is that of the guys I mentioned, they did avoid the season-ending injuries. You know, there are lots of these guys sound like they'll be back week one. And if they're not going to be back week one, they'll be back soon after. So that is the one positive, is that of these key players, we haven't heard anything that suggests any of them are season enders, which are really just the worst thing that happened in training camp and preseason, because like you lose a guy when he's at the point where he's playing and the stakes aren't very high. So that's something, that's the one silver lining for this injury situation for the Jets. That'll do it today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, iTunes, Spotify, please subscribe and leave a good review in iTunes. Have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow.